This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Shunning and Noel. In about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Ibrahim Sufyan, Programme Director at the Merdeka Centre, on the Kimanis by-election. But in the meantime, let's take a look at 5G, because 2020 seems to be the year of technological innovation for Malaysia, as it is on track to commercially roll out 5G technology in the third quarter of this year. Now, this was announced by Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad during the launch of the 5G Malaysia demonstration projects in Langkawi yesterday. And since this, the initial launch in April last year, Tun noted that the preparations for the 5G deployment appear to have progressed smoothly.
Yeah, so the thing is about 5G, it would serve as an infrastructure for innovative and sustainable growth for Malaysia. Certainly benefits for enterprises and consumers, like, and also like hospitals, healthcare, rural hospitals in Sabah and Sarawak, they can, you know, probably get, like, be able to send their data across, like X-ray data. That takes up a lot of gigabytes. So obviously with 5G, that can be faster. Manufacturing as well, financial services, faster data crunching abilities. But I think really the biggie is for consumers. VR, for example, virtual reality, is more going to be more immersive. So like if you were watching a football match, it might feel like you're really in that match itself, right in the stadium.
Yeah, it'll all be about Internet of Things, right? So you really have the reality of the smart home, all your devices, which is the part I'm nervous about, communicating not only with us, but also communicating with each other and collecting data. But of course, 5G is something that inevitably will happen. But my question always is, how expensive is it going to be to roll out these services? And which technology are we going to use? Because this has been something that the trade war is being fought over, right? Because you have the likes of Huawei who are pushing their own version of 5G technology versus the rest of the world, which is mainly in Europe. So the likes of Nokia and Ericsson and even Samsung trying to come up with their own 5G networks. I'm just curious, what is the cost going to be to the consumer? Because nothing is ever for free, right?
Yeah, and perhaps we will find out, we will be able to find out more details about this soon, because there are currently over 70 use cases being demonstrated across 56 5G live sites here in Malaysia across six states. Langkawi alone accounts for 35 of these use cases at 25 live sites. And these cases cover a multitude of different sectors, so digital healthcare, smart cities, agriculture, education, and entertainment and media, of course. So this is, it's going to be a fascinating time, you know, as we head into the end of this year, because 5G is one of those things that it's going to revolutionize the way we consume media. And what's going to be the result of that? How are companies going to adapt to this 5G capabilities? We are also heading into a likely iPhone super cycle, because at the end of this year we do have the iPhone 12 is supposed to be coming out
in September,
and
usually.
Yes, and that is the first 5G enabled phone. So it's you wonder whether it's going to be if it coincides with this third quarter 2020 for commercial rollout of 5G here in Malaysia, will we see a rush towards the iPhone?
Well, we have examples of 5G telephone usage in Korea. They've already rolled out 5G networks. And so far, the take-up rate is about 10%. So it's quite fast. But a lot of it has been driven by the telco operators offering two things. One, very cheap data packages, and two, offering subsidized handphone sets. So maybe in Malaysia, we might have the same thing where the likes of your like Cellcom, Maxis, DG will have to come up with subsidized sets, because the argument is that, do you want to buy a new phone? It's kind of a new thing. You might be a bit reluctant to be the first test case unless the phone was really, really cheap. So I think it'd be interesting to see what kind of model we're going to use here first.
Yeah, so the thing is, people are complaining about the cost of living and all that. So I think data subsidies and all that will certainly help. But I see, you know, if people didn't want to buy the iPhone, which tends to be very expensive, they have Huawei, and there's also Xiaomi, who's also in the game. That would be they might be the beneficiary of this 5G thing. But you know, like the point that you raised, hardware is going to be upgraded because of 5G. But really, what about people? Are they ready for that? Right? I mean, are we ready? Do we have the technical talent, for example? And it's also a new way of working. Processes will probably have to change too.
Absolutely. So this is one of the things we will be keeping an eye on. But also here in Malaysia, it appears that we will now be allowing businesses to raise cash through blockchain technology after initial coin offerings sparked concern among Malaysians. So the idea now is to create alternative funding fundraising options for the market by eliminating the need to undertake debt or sell equities. And this could now be done through initial exchange offerings. So slightly different there from an initial coin offering. IEOs are also, though, the issuance of digital tokens. They're basically the same as ICOs, except that they're done through a cryptocurrency exchange rather than done by the token issuers themselves.
So basically, these token issues, the tokens will be administered by a crypto exchange on behalf of the issuer. So I think there are going to be regulations around that. I think, for example, they need like 5 million ringgit capital, paid up capital for these crypto exchanges, I think more security. But I guess, yes, it doesn't dilute shares and so forth, but, you know, it will appear on the balance sheet, right? Will it appear as a liability, for example, because then you affect your gearing calculation, or will it come as a line under share capital and reserves?
Well, super technical, Noel, but the point is on the 15th of January, Securities Commission actually launched these guidelines on digital assets. So basically, companies can raise up to 100 million ringgit through these IEOs. Like you say, public listed companies can also participate indirectly in digital token offerings for additional funding. So now they can go beyond just, doing placements or doing a rights issue or even going to the bank. So in other words, the ability to raise money has kind of widened. There are more options available. And I guess the difference between this and the Bitcoin offering is that it's operating on an exchange. And this is probably where Securities Commission participates, because I presume the exchange will reside somewhere and will be monitored and will also be regulated.
Yeah, so there are a few cryptocurrency exchanges around the world that do conduct IEOs. I think one example would be Bittrex. And the benefit of doing an IEO, which is conducted on the exchange, is that the exchange has some measure of responsibility and some measure of interest in maintaining its reputation, right? So they don't want to put out a digital token offering that would flop. So of course, there is the wider conversation about, you know, fundraising through these kinds of means. Is it high risk? Absolutely, because it is. The problem is that IEOs aren't backed by assets. So in the event of a project failure, you know, there's really nothing to safeguard your investment.
Yeah, so the IEOs, anyone who's going to be investing in some of these tokens, they really need to, you know, come down to the fundamentals, right? They have to look at the company. Are they a going concern? Can they sustain their operations? And this thing about being a platform, the crypto exchange, that sounds like an interesting business to be in.
Indeed. So we will have to keep an eye on this to see how it develops. Right now, though, we are about to head into the 7:30 news. And then up next, we'll be speaking with Charles Allen, Global Retail Research Analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, on supermarkets. Now, that's going to be happening after the 7:30 news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.